welcome to Drupal Easy Podcast number 96, a special holiday edition of the podcast. I am Mike Anello, and I am flying solo today with my special guest, Owen Lansbury. Owen is the managing partner of Previous Next, a Drupal consulting firm based in Australia. And no coincidence, Owen, you are also one of the organizers for DrupalCon Sydney. So welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Michael. Good to be here.
So let's find out a little bit about you first before we dive in and talk about the DrupalCon a little bit. So how did you get your start in Drupal?
So I'd been working in web design and development for about 15 years before I stumbled across Drupal. And I can actually blame my wife for getting into Drupal because she was setting up a social network. And we're looking at different CMSs to be able to build it with back in 07. And after a lot of analysis, we settled on Drupal as being a great platform to do that. And off the back of that, actually built a business out of building Drupal websites. So that business became Previous Next, which I run with my business partner, Kim Pepper. And in the past 5 years, we've been able to grow from the two of us to about 20 people. And all we do is Drupal. So it's been a great few years of being involved with the technology and the community.
So were you working with other content management systems, or what was your background pre-Drupal?
Yeah, so my personal background is user experience and design. So a lot of the work that I was doing prior to founding Previous Next was working with large media companies. So working with big TV networks and big newspaper publishers in Australia. And so I was building information architecture and design for a range of different CMSs. And one of our first commercial Drupal jobs actually came about because I'd done the information architecture for one of these TV networks and had asked them how they were going to build it. And they said, well, we're going to spend $50,000 on this .NET CMS that no one's ever heard of. And that was a good trigger for me to say, hey, have you heard of Drupal? That could be a good option for you. And off the back of that, they told us to pitch and we won that. And the rest is history.
So I'm going to assume, based on the fact that you're one of the organizers of DrupalCon Sydney, that you got involved in the Drupal community fairly early in your Drupal career?
So I think my own experience of getting into Drupal was very much driven by having such great access to the community through Drupal.org. And at the time when I first started using Drupal, I wasn't actually living in Sydney. I was living about 3 or 4 hours drive out in the middle of the countryside. So it was a little bit hard to get to Drupal meetups. But as soon as I moved back into the city, then I was able to start attending the Sydney meetups, which are run by Ryan Cross. And he's been doing that for the last 6 or 7 years in Sydney. And that was a great way to just meet other people that were using Drupal in Sydney at the time. And then over the last couple of years, we've had a few larger national Drupal events, which we've called Drupal Down Under. And they've been run in different cities around Australia, so Brisbane and Melbourne. And through that, we've been able to make connections with the broader Drupal community here.
So how is the community, I guess let's start in Sydney, how has it grown since you've joined? Has it?
So I think the great story of Drupal in Australia is very similar to the rest of the world, where there's been incredible growth in the last 3 to 4 years of the use of Drupal. And that's obviously translated into people being connected to the community as well. So I think in terms of the growth of the community, the first Drupal Down Under event that we had only 2 years ago, that had 120 attendees. And the one that we had in Melbourne earlier in 2012 this year, it had 250 attendees. And DrupalCon Sydney, which will be run in about a month's time, we're looking at doubling that number again. So in terms of the overall growth of the community, I think it's valid to say that it's doubled year on year. And that's also been reflected in the number of people attending local meetups as well. And around Australia, there's very good network of meetups, both in the major cities as well as some of the regional cities, and a very good collaboration through groups.drupal.org for different people in Australia.
So are there generally multiple camps in different cities, or it sounded like what happens is this Drupal Down Under kind of rotates between different cities, and that in effect is kind of your big regional Drupal camp.
Yeah, so that's definitely the case in terms of Drupal Down Under being the major regional camp. There's been a couple of smaller camps in different cities, but they have tended to be much smaller scale than what you'd find in the US, for example. And I should also make note of the events that have happened in New Zealand as well. So New Zealand was a very early adopter of Drupal. A lot of their government websites moved to Drupal quite early on, and they actually ran a couple of events called Drupal South as early as 2007. So there's definitely been a strong community in New Zealand as well as Australia.
So is there a lot of interaction between those two communities?
To a certain extent. I think there's a healthy rivalry between Australia and New Zealand traditionally in a similar way to Canada and the US. Mm-hmm. But we're much friendlier than we are competitive, and there's definitely a good flow of people between the two countries in terms of working on similar projects, as well as collaboration on events. So we've had quite a lot of involvement from New Zealanders in Drupal Down Unders in terms of speaking and being involved.
So for those of us that are geographically challenged in that part of the world, so how far away is New Zealand from Australia? Is that
So in terms of flight time, you can get from Sydney to Auckland, which is the capital city of New Zealand, in about 2.5 to 3 hours. So it'd be the equivalent distance of, say,
New York to Miami or something like that.
That kind of distance. And between us is a body of water known as the Tasman Sea, which is part of the Pacific Ocean. So it'd be a long swim.
So are there other areas or countries, I guess I should say, other than New Zealand and Australia that kind of make up your, you know, regional ecosystem? I know Indonesia or the Philippines or I guess Tasmania.
Yeah, so I think if you're talking geopolitically, then Australia and New Zealand can be classified as being part of the Asia-Pacific region, mm-hmm. and that takes into account everything from Japan through to Southeast Asia. Mm-hmm. And I think in terms of interaction with the Drupal community, we have had some interactions with the Singapore community and the Filipino community. But in terms of geographic distance, Singapore's a good 8-hour flight, right. And Manila's about the same. So it's not as if we can just jump on a plane and be at a meetup that afternoon.
not super practical.
But from what I understand, we do have quite a few attendees coming to DrupalCon Sydney from the Asia-Pacific region, and there's definitely been a lot of growth in that region over the past year or so, and there's been a couple of key people who've been driving that. So I know Svenberg Ryan in Singapore's been quite instrumental in getting some camps happening and building the community there, and similar case in the Philippines. And I think in terms of Drupal use, we're definitely seeing growth in the region in general. So emerging growth in Indonesia and definitely strong growth in other Southeast Asian countries.
So how did this DrupalCon come about? It, you know, from those of us not involved in the Australian community, or it seemed that it was something along the lines of where one of the Drupal Down Under events kind of got promoted to a DrupalCon.
Yeah.
Is that a fairly fair statement?
That was the case. So the baton from Drupal Down Under Melbourne was passed to Sydney in January, and it was actually Dries, who had attended Drupal Down Under in Melbourne, who had pulled us aside at the end of the event and said, "Hey, look, if you approach the Drupal Association about this event, then there's an interest from the Drupal Association to be able to start running Drupal cons in regions outside of North America and Europe, and Australia would be a good candidate to be one of the first to run a DrupalCon outside of those regions. And at that point in time, there was planning around DrupalCon Sao Paulo, which obviously, unfortunately, didn't end up happening. But as part of that whole initiative to be able to run DrupalCons outside of the US and Europe, Australia was positioned quite well in terms of our infrastructure and the growth of the community here. And I think a lot of the work that we'd done in terms of planning for Drupal down under meant that there was a very good platform for the Drupal Association to be able to pair in with us to turn it into an official DrupalCon. But I think if the blame's going to lie anywhere, then it's definitely with Dries for seeding the idea, and I'm sure he had some conversations behind the scenes as well.
When in doubt, blame Dries. Perfect.
Yep.
So the theme of the camp is growing Drupal down under. So are you guys looking at this more as an event to actually grow the Australian and or the regional, I'll say, community, or are you looking at this more of to kind of almost introduce the Drupal community to, or the Australian Drupal community to the Drupal community at whole?
Yeah, so there's a few factors that you've touched on there. I think the first factor is having a large Drupal event, and especially a DrupalCon in this region is quite important for people that haven't been able to attend a DrupalCon in North America or Europe. And I think our experience of having attended Northern Hemisphere DrupalCons in the past couple of years, there's usually only about 5 or 10 Australians and New Zealanders that end up making it up to the Northern Hemisphere for those events.
Sure.
So I think there was a definite huge base of people that had never had that experience, and being able to expose them to that with a local DrupalCon was a very big factor. And the other component to it is, I think as Drupal's grown, people who've been using Drupal and adopting it within their organizations haven't necessarily been aware that there's such a strong community behind Drupal. And so having an event like this is a great way of being able to expose those, what we were referring to as the hidden users of Drupal, people working within large organizations who might just be turning up to work and using Drupal as their CMS, giving them an opportunity to realize that there is this large group of people behind Drupal as a platform and as a community, and being able to connect and interact with them. And then I think the third component to it is just in terms of people realizing all of the initiatives that happen as part of the community beyond simply contributing to the software. And I think DrupalCon's a great way of being able to bring a lot of different people from different walks of life and different use cases of Drupal to be able to come and share their experiences, and the end result being that everyone's much experienced at the end of the day.
So do you think this DrupalCon will have, well, let me back up. I've noticed with the past few North American DrupalCons, they're getting a little bit more business-oriented and less developer-oriented. That's not saying that the majority is business-oriented. I'm just saying the fraction is increasing.
Yeah. So I think one of the very clear initiatives that we tried to achieve with DrupalCon Sydney was to reach out to users that wouldn't normally be engaging with Drupal at a development level. So we've specifically got a content authoring track as part of DrupalCon Sydney, and the idea there is to be able to attract people that are using Drupal on a day-to-day basis as content authors or as site administrators, and to have content that's specifically targeted towards them, whereas those types of people probably wouldn't be very interested in more of the core development tracks. Having said that, we've still got very, very strong representation from the development side, as well as front-end design and user experience and site building. And in terms of the overall content mix, we've still got at least 50% of our sessions are targeting that audience. So I don't think we've diluted the focus of DrupalCon at all. We've just made sure that there's different streams of content that are applicable to specifically different audiences that all use Drupal in very strong ways.
And you're also doing a business day on, I think it's Wednesday the 6th, February.
Yeah, that's correct. So our format for the whole conference is slightly different to a Northern Hemisphere DrupalCon. We're starting on the Wednesday with a Drupal business day, and that's going to focus on high-level use cases of how Drupal's being used within large organizations. So in terms of speakers for that event, we've got a woman called Pia War, who's a very strong open source advocate within government, and she'll be talking about the disruption of open source technologies within government organizations. And then we've got two case studies, one from SBS, which is one of the larger TV networks that's just adopted Drupal in Australia, and one from a travel organization called Flight Center, which is a similar type of company to Expedia in Australia, and they've just adopted Drupal as well. So having some high-level use cases from them about how they selected Drupal in the first place and what their process for moving to Drupal has been over the last year or so. And then we've got a couple of workshops and panels with representatives of different large organizations talking on those panels. And I think the main impetus for that day is for people that can't commit to doing the full conference to be able to get a good snapshot of how Drupal's being used. And I think especially in the context of growing Drupal down under, it's a great way of organizations that might be looking at Drupal at the moment and needing that little extra push to get over the line, to be able to come and spend a really focused day hearing these case studies to bring across the line.
I always think it's fascinating listening to people talk about the decision process. You know, what were the pros about Drupal that really stood out, that kind of led them to that decision, versus what were the negatives that maybe made them a little bit hesitant? And I think it's a great exercise for the community to kind of look inside ourselves and learn how other people view our platform and, you know, where its potential strengths and weaknesses are.
Yep, exactly.
So getting to the conference, you know, there's obviously going to be a State of Drupal keynote with Dries, as there always is at DrupalCons. You also have, I believe it's a government official for a second keynote, is that correct?
Yep, that's correct. So in terms of the main sessions, they'll be run on the Thursday and Friday, so Thursday the 7th and Friday the 8th of February. So Dries will be doing the opening keynote on the Thursday, and then on the Friday morning, we've got a sitting government minister. Her name's Senator Kate Lundy, and she's one of the ministers assisting innovation and industry, so she's very much involved in the growth of technology within Australia, and she's also been a very strong open source advocate over the past few years, and she often talks at these types of events to really promote the idea of open source technologies leading to more open government. So I think in terms of having her speak, it's definitely a coup for us for her to be interested in speaking at the event in the first place, but to also be able to come and evangelize what's possible with open source technologies in government. And I think this is happening at a very critical time for us in Australia, where we've had tenfold growth of the use of Drupal within government over the past 2 years, but we're still only sitting at about 5% of government sites are running Drupal at the moment. So if we're looking at what's happened in the US, where upwards of 25% of government sites are now running Drupal, there's this huge growth curve that we're likely to see with Drupal in government in Australia over the next couple of years. And having someone like Senator Lundy come and talk about open source in government, I think will be quite a big trigger for people within government to be paying attention to Drupal in a much stronger way than they might otherwise be doing.
So someone who, you know, her position is she's minister assisting for innovation and industry. And I know that we have a lot of US listeners. That's why I'm going to try.
Yep.
So is that similar to a cabinet level In the US, are you familiar with US politics at all?
Yeah, so she's got a couple of portfolios she takes care of. She's actually a sitting minister for sport, which isn't as relevant to Drupal. So she's a cabinet level minister in that regard.
Okay.
And then we have a number of assistant ministers who will assist on different portfolios. So that's where her innovation and industry title comes in. So yes, she is a sitting cabinet minister.
So as far as the actual conference, it's going to run Thursday and Friday with sessions all day.
Yep, that's correct.
Those 2 days.
Yeah, we've got 54 slots for sessions that we'll be running over those 2 days.
So was it something like 5 or 6 tracks per day? Is that about right?
Yep. I think we've actually got 7 tracks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, whenever you have more tracks, it makes it harder on the attendees to choose which session they want to go to, because now they have to choose 7, 1 of 7, which is the kind of problem you want to have.
No, that's exactly right.
Yeah. But I guess it's safe to assume everything is going to be videotaped and put online afterwards.
Yeah, so the keynotes will be videoed, and then we'll be doing the standard slide decks and audio recording for all of the other sessions. Fantastic. And all of those will be made available via sydney2013.drupal.org.
And then Saturday is a code sprint day, is that correct?
Yep, and I think the exciting thing about the code sprint is Dries recently announced that they were having a feature refinement phase following the feature freeze that happened earlier this month, and that additional phase will coincide with the code sprint at DrupalCon Sydney. So I think there'll be a lot more focus on that code sprint than there might have otherwise been. And I think in terms of the maturity of the Australian community, it's going to be a fantastic opportunity for them to get involved with a code sprint of that caliber that they might not otherwise have had the opportunity to do. So there's definitely going to be a lot of attention on that.
So what other types of events can are taking place around the camp? Or the camp,
sure.
Sorry, the con. Jeez.
So in talking about the code sprint, we've got Addison Berry from Lullabot will be running a introduction to code sprints training that's going to coincide with the code sprints. So that'll be happening on the Saturday as well. So anyone that hasn't been involved with the code sprint before and wants to see what it's all about, there'll be this introduction training as part of that. And then in the lead up to the code sprint, there'll be a few boffs to help people get their development environments set up so that they can participate more quickly than they otherwise might do. And then in terms of other training, most of that will be happening on the Wednesday. So in terms of the training sessions that we've got planned, I think you will be running Blue Collar Git.
That's correct.
So presented by Drupal Easy, a shameless plug for you there.
Thank you.
And
maybe so I don't have to do that plug.
And then the other two sessions, we've got a commerce kickstart session by the commerce guys. So anyone that's interested in using the commerce kickstart distribution, there'll be a full day session of how to get started using that. And then the Lullabot guys and girls will also be running a training session called Plan, Build, Launch Real World Drupal. So all about how you can better manage and plan your projects with Drupal. So we've had some strong interest in those trainings so far, but we've still definitely wanted to drive attendance at those. So definitely encouraging people to sign up for those. And in terms of the pricing, it's a very reasonable $440 for a full day's training. And half of that funding will be going back to the Drupal Association.
Right, and you don't have to be signed up for the con in order to...
No, so you can attend the training without attending the con. And it is worth pointing out that we have actually sold out the con. So
yes.
we sold that out about 2 or 3 weeks ago. We will have a few tickets open up after January the 11th, once we've consolidated all of our tickets from sponsorships. So I'm not going to indicate how many tickets there might be available, but there will be a few more left over towards the middle of January, and they'll be opened up once we've done a final tally of available quarantine tickets. But definitely, if you're interested in attending the training, you don't need to be attending the con, and the same goes for the Drupal Business Day. You can buy a ticket for that separately to attend the Drupal Business Day.
And then how about social events?
So in terms of social events, I think the main focus will be around the range of great bars that are in the Coogee Beach area. So for those that aren't familiar with Sydney, Coogee Beach is about 10 minutes drive from the centre of the city, and is along the same stretch of coast as the famous Bondi Beach. It's only about 5 minutes drive from Bondi Beach, and it's a fantastic seaside village down in Coogee, where we've got about 30 or 40 international restaurants. There's about 5 big bars and beer gardens, all within 2 to 3 minutes walking distance of the DrupalCon hotel. So I think in terms of evening events, there'll be quite a lot of beer drinking that will be happening. And then there'll be a lot of social activities happening around DrupalCon itself. So the beach is literally across the road from the venue, so there'll be quite a few events happening down there. I'm sure there'll be a spot of beach cricket, which is a traditional Australian pastime, playing cricket on the beach, kind of like playing baseball on the beach. And then there's a lot of activities that people can do if they're attending DrupalCon within the local area. So there's snorkeling in Gordon's Bay just around the corner, and you can take surfing lessons at Bondi Beach. You can take a tour of the Sydney Harbour on a Sydney ferry. So in terms of activities, there's nothing too official planned yet, but definitely a lot of different things that you'll be able to do in Sydney.
Fantastic. Well, I can't wait. It's about a little over a month away. And as you said, unfortunately, the con is sold out, but there is a waiting list for tickets, correct?
Yeah, so if you are keen to get a ticket, just go to the DrupalCon Sydney website, sydney2013.drupal.org, click on Buy Tickets, and there's a wait list that you can sign up for on that. And people that had signed up for the wait list just after we sold out, quite a lot of them did get offered tickets once we'd done an initial tally of tickets. So there's definitely a good chance that you'll get tickets if you do sign up for that wait list. No guarantees, obviously.
Sooner the better.
Yep.
All right, well, let's go ahead and start wrapping this up. I do always, as always, I want to mention our podcast sponsor, which is webenabled.com, and you can check them out at webenabled.com. And I think that's it. I think we're going to make this one nice and short. It's a holiday week, here in the U.S. and pretty much everywhere else in the world, or a lot of places in the world, I should say. So, Owen, thank you very much for taking time out this week to talk to me. How can people keep in touch with you, or how can they follow you? You want to promote a website or a Twitter feed or anything like that?
Sure. So if you're wanting to stay up to date with what's happening with DrupalCon Sydney, just follow at DrupalCon on Twitter, and all the updates will be happening through that. My personal Twitter handle is at PreviousNext, and that's just for our company, and we'll have a few updates about what's happening with DrupalCon through that handle as well. But otherwise, come to Sydney, and we'll hopefully get to meet people when they attend.
All right, well, super. Thanks a lot for your time, Owen, and we'll see you in Australia.
Great. Thanks, Michael.